pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day and for life and health and strength for Ling and Norman and William, Will, and Monica and myself for our desire to be here. And of course, Lord, we miss Christine and we miss Pat and Steve and Carol and John and Stephen and Lord, all those that have been and gone. And I pray for your good hand upon each and every one of us, all those that claim the name of Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord. I pray for help, pray for strength, for encouragement, for comfort. I pray you for wisdom and boldness, Lord. I pray you, Lord, please, that you would be one of our number. We just thank you for loving us, for watching over us. We pray especially, Lord, for Israel at this particular time, that you would stop all the naysayers and bless all the yay-sayers, Lord. We love you and praise you. We leave this service at your feet and pray that you would do with it according to your will. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. All right, hymn number 55. Hymn number 55, When the Roll is Called Up.
Eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll called up yonder, I'll be there.
Amen. Good start. Our next one is number 13 in our little black book. Hymn number 13.
Oh, 13.
Yes.
God, it was 12.
Not yet. Number 13 first.
Oh, confused.
Stand as we sing, please be free.
Land, I am with
Need extra verses, amen. Norman, if you are good to read for us, we will let you come up to the front.
Thank you, Norman. Oh, bless you.
This morning's reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 64. It's funny, I got a message from Steve yesterday afternoon. He said, will you read? He said, did you get my text? I said, no, I didn't get your text. I'm just in, Steve. And as he was talking to me, up flashed Isaiah 64 on the Tanakh Bible thing. I just couldn't believe it. It's the same thing that he'd asked for. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth, fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down the mountain, flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eyes seen. O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for he hath sinned in those in countenance, and we shall be saved. We shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter. We all are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth, very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity, forever behold, see we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness, Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? Amen.
If we had had that last week, we would have had that verse as well. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. That is I can't recall the exact reference now, but I hath not seen and ear hath not heard. Amen. Good verses. I always remembered verse 6 as well. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags in the face of everything that God has done for us. And whenever we try to compare our works to what Jesus did on the cross, that's what they look like to God. So, excellent reading. I tip my cap to Norman and virtually to Steve, because as a fellow says, he ain't here. So we appreciate the reading, gentlemen. Amen. All right, just want to take a moment or two to remind you of our prayer list this morning. The most important business of the day, or should I say the happiest business of the day, do we want to start happy and end up grim, or start grim and end up happy? Take your pick. Start grim and end up happy. Please pray for Israel at this particular time. They're getting an awful lot of bad press because they are defending themselves from rocket attacks from, is it from Gaza? Is it that? Is that where the rockets are coming from at the moment? So please do pray for them. The world press is completely and utterly biased against everything that's good and proper. And that means you and me both, because if you're saved and you're here today, you are adopted in or grafted in to the Jewish family. That's why it's called Judeo-Christianity. There is a very real link, a continuance. As Norman was reading, there is a continuance from the Jewish faith to Christ, to the disciples, the apostles, to us. And it is that we have our faith in. Anything that is aimed at the Jews will soon be aimed at you and me. So please do pray about that, and if you ever have an opportunity, fight the corner of the Jew. The Lord will fight your corner if you do that, and that is a promise in Genesis 12, I think it was, that has never been rescinded, that bless the Jews and you'll be blessed by God, curse them and you'll be cursed by God. I think the whole idea is that if you lift your hand to help the Jew, God will lift his hand to help you, and if you lift your hand against the Jew, God will lift his hand against you. So remember that. Please do also remember there are a number of preachers that have been very publicly arrested. There's that wee man over in London. There's a petition going around that he would be released without charge. And also another pastor in Canada who was arrested for having church services. And I think it's still the same, just like 3 or 4 miles from here as the crow flies. Can they have church services in the south yet? I don't think so, can they? Up until very recently, they couldn't. So in the land that used to be the land of saints and scholars has now become the land of drunkards and brawlers. Things have changed a lot. And it has only taken a few generations to really go that way. So be much in prayer for our own country too. A lot to pray about. Please have a wee look at that. I think we were praying for Samantha's foot. She was due to go into surgery on Friday, and I believe everything went well. So you can double check with Pat.
Samantha's got a heart.
Louise's. Pardon?
Louise's a foot.
What did I say? Oh, sorry, Louise, you're right. Thank you. Well, Louise's foot, that's his granddaughter. You can check with him this evening for more details, but I believe everything went well. Does anybody not want their name down on the private prayer requests? Do you want your name taken off, or do you still want everybody to call your private requests out to the Lord? You do. You want your name off?
No, I'm not leaving it on.
All right. There you go. Well, ain't the good news? Christy Cooley became Christopher Cooley, and Taylor Roth became Christopher and Taylor Cooley. Just, goodness, just over 12 hours ago, I think about 14 hours ago. So pray for them too. It might be a little bit of an ordeal getting back into the UK. Pray for visas and the housing situation for them. They'll be off on their honeymoon, I think, in a day or two, won't they? So pray for Christopher, Christy and Taylor. And pray for little orphan Mark as he tries to find his way back to the UK on his own. Is he going home tomorrow too? So, hopefully. Is he coming back into Dublin?
I'm not sure.
So, pray that he gets home in one piece and doesn't have to spend another £1,800 sitting in a hotel somewhere. So there's a lot, still a lot going on. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. The rules in the world are going to change, and I think our country has even shown that they are more than happy to change them and continually pushing back the deadlines whereby people are allowed to go about their business. So we'll do it then, and then there's the Brazilian variant, and then no, we'll do it in a month or two's time, and then there's an Indian variant. We'll do it in another month's time, there'll be another variant, and so on and so forth. It is a classical drip feed scenario. It's designed to crush your spirit. It's designed to depress you. It's designed to make you sad. So keep your eyes upon the Lord. We need that. We need that no matter what's going on out in the world. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Make sure you get a wee bit of your Bible in every day and spend some time in the Lord's presence every day. It's very important. All right. I think that's about that. Yeah, I think it is. We'll have a wee word of prayer, and then we will continue. Would you be okay to lead us, Ross?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Good Father, thank you this day, Lord. Thank you for your grace and security and your presence today, Lord. We offer a number of us as we listen to the service, Lord, be participants in that, Lord. And give marriage to the Spirit, Lord, and touch our hearts and our souls, Lord, and bring us more communion and draw our walk closer, walk with Thee, Lord. Blessing us dead, Lord, I pray, Lord, with people who came out, with men and letter, Lord, and ladies and manners, give them a blessing and keep them, not just them spiritually, physically, mentally, psychologically, and bless them and keep them, Lord, and keep them safe and well, and pray for them and bless them also, Lord. Pray for John Carl Stephen, bless them, bring them out just tonight, Lord, save their souls, Lord, deliver them from trouble, Lord. With Carl and our arms, Lord, heal her, Lord, and keep her and bless her as well, Lord. And with Christopher and Esther, Lord, with Esther and her lymphoma has passed, Lord, do not let it return, Lord, and heal her from her anguish and her physical frailties, Lord, and bless her and keep her, Lord, as well. With Christy and Taylor, Lord, as they're going to their honeymoon, can join the mercy, Lord, go to Hawaii and come back, Lord, come back to UK again, Lord, deliver from any troubles. Keep them safe, Lord, and give them a wondrous honeymoon, and bless them and keep them until they go to the honeymoon. With Stephen Pat, Lord, give them the diabetes, heal them, provide for them and keep them, Lord, and bring them into the church next appointed time, hopefully tonight, Lord, and bless them and provide for them, and minister unto them spiritually, and I run away, Lord, for my honour, and with Steve's frailties as well, Lord. We'll stay, Lord, provide for us and keep us, we do everything to please Thee, for that great and holy name, for Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Let's take our hymn books again, if you would. Big black one, or the wee black ones this time. Big black ones. Hymn number 12, we will be singing. Hymn number 12. I know my name is there.
trouble often cast a shadow o'er my title, but not with false salvation blessed. Praise God, it's ever clear.
Thank you, Mrs. Bradfield. I think we've got, was it number 29? Number 29 is our, just in that same book, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. And then once we're finished singing this, we'll give your vocal cords a rest, and I will exercise mine. Hymn number 29 in the black book, Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me
hymns that needs another wee verse or two added to it. Thank you for your selections. There were a couple there that were chosen because they fitted in with the service, but I appreciate the Bible reading and the prayers. We're going to be in our Bible, speaking of, in John chapter 9, if you would like to take and turn there. John chapter 9. Seems to be something wrong starting into the sermon at 20 past 11 of a Sunday morning. It almost feels like, do you ever get up a wee bit early and there's nobody stirring in the street and it seems like you've snuck in an hour of something just for yourself, and even getting up of a morning maybe around 5 or 6 o'clock when you can't sleep, doesn't happen very often. I've heard many a preacher say that they like to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and pray and get all their prayer requests out of the world. That happens to me once in a blue moon. It doesn't happen every morning, let me tell you. Otherwise, I'd be up here like a like a black-eyed zombie or a reverse panda. So, amen. Amen. It's good. It's good to be alive. It's good to be saved. And it's good to know all of those things. Our service this morning, the title is One Thing I Know. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbours therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he, and others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? And he said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man's not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. And others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And they said to the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, Is this your son, whom you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? And his parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. And these words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. That's where we're going to stop our Bible reading. We're taking our very last verse, if you might have guessed already, as our text. And those four words, just smack bang in the middle of verse 25, One Thing I Know, that is the title for the message this morning. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll continue on. Amen. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, again for this day and this lovely sunshine and the fellowship that we have, for the Bible readings, for the prayers, Lord, for the many needs and causes, and especially for those, Lord, great global and national things that are going on, but also, Lord, for ourselves, for our families, for our loved ones, for our neighbours, for our townsmen and our countrymen. We pray you, Lord, for a great salvation in these last of the last days. We pray you too, Lord, for our leaders. Pray you, Lord, for those other men that are standing and preaching the full counsel of your word, for anyone that, just Lord, that's doing what you ask them to do, I pray you a great blessing and strengthening for them and boldness in these last of the last days. Just thank you, Lord, for loving us and watching over us. I pray you, Lord, your presence with us this morning, and Lord, that your will would be done. Please lead us and guide us, and thank you, Lord, for the freedom to lift up our voices and sing your praises and to call upon you, Lord, pretty much in public. But Lord, we pray most of all for your will to be done. Love you and thank you. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and thank you for giving us your Son, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the preservation of your word. We love you and praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. It is that time. I don't mean summertime, on the cusp of summertime. It's that time in my Bible reading when we've come to John chapter 9. I really do. There are so many messages in John chapter 9. The powerlessness and the hatefulness of modern religion. The goodness, the way people treat those that are seeking for the truth and watching for the truth. And the way that the true gospel works that worldly religion can't. It's a powerful account of a blind man given his sight back by the Lord. And not just because there are so many accounts in the gospels of people receiving their sight. This one actually gets a full chapter. And there are not too many. Most of them revolve around blind Bartimaeus, I think, and a couple of other blind men that literally called out to Jesus in the space of 3 or 4 verses. That's all that you ever hear about them. And but this one gets a whole chapter, goodness, 41 verses. And I would like to take just a moment or two this morning and think about the one thing I know. There's a lot of stuff we don't know, but one thing that this man definitely knew. We'll have a quick run through what we just read, and then we will get into the message proper. As it opens up, the Lord does something that people shouldn't do. He does something on the Sabbath day. He actually spits on the ground and makes a wee bit of clay for this blind man and puts it on his eyes, tells him to go and wash it off in a pool called Sent. He was sent to Sent so he could come away seeing. And he does come away seeing. And there is a common theme as we read this. I just literally just discovered it after who knows how many reads of this portion of God's word, that there is an element of confusion or ignorance that runs the whole way through this portion of God's word. Not a willing ignorance, just an ignorance of God and his power, and an ignorance of those that are searching for God, but also of those that don't want to know anything about God. And the first time we see it is whenever the man, he's washed his eyes, he can see, and he's obviously gone home. And his neighbors and those people that knew him, they see him, and some of them, they think it's him. Some of them, maybe it's someone that's like him, but they're a bit stuck and they're a bit confused as well. He says, where's this guy that opened your eyes? And he says, I don't know, I know not. And then they bring him to the Pharisees and they get all bent out of shape because Jesus did all this on the Sabbath day. They don't glorify the Lord because he has made a blind man, a man that was blind from his birth, to see. They're given off because he made clay on the Sabbath day. And there is an element of that, and all of us, if we are really loving something, we will make any excuse to indulge it or to spend time doing it. If we really hate something, we will find any reason not to do it, and that's exactly what the Pharisees, they did not want the Christ. In fact, the word was out there in verse 22, if any man came admitting that he was Christ He wasn't to be welcomed into the temple and tested and proved. He was to be chucked out. He was to be quite literally excommunicated. So we know from the very start of reading this portion of God's word that there is an anti-Christian element in there already. The Pharisees ask him, how did it happen? He says, I don't know. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he did. This is, he made the clay, put it on my eyes, and he told me to go and wash them, and I am grand. And they said, they didn't believe him, and that's fair enough. If one person comes bringing a story to you that it's hard to follow, it's hard to believe. But they go and get his parents. And his parents said, this is our son, but we don't know how he saith. We know not. Or we don't even know the guy who opened his eyes in verse number 21. Then the Pharisees, they say again to the man, give God the glory because we know this man is a sinner. And we finish off our reading here, although the discussion goes on. We finish off the reading with this man said, look, I don't know who he is. I don't know what he did to fix my eyes, what mechanism, what method. I don't know where he is, but one thing I do know is things are different for me now. I was blind, but now I see. This one thing I know. I don't know where he is, I don't know how he did it, I don't know who he is, but this one thing I do know. What he did for me changed my life. This one thing I know. If you were to read on, you will see that after being asked by the Pharisees 3 or 4 or 5 times, he starts to get a bit ratty with them. And they ask him again, how did it happen? He says, I have already told you. Would you like to be his disciples too? You want to know that much about him? He said, we're Moses' disciples. And who are you to teach us how we should believe and who we should believe him? And they throw him out of the temple. Goes on to tell us that the Lord finds him and explains to him that he is the Christ and asks to go worshiping him and following him. Amen. It is a very thoughtful part of the story of the Word of God. Sadly, not just back in those days, but more importantly in these days. There are people, no matter how much proof or evidence that you give them of a thing, even in your own life, the fact that you have bought into it completely still won't believe you. They feel for some reason that it's just a change of opinion or a change of biblical position, that it's not an actual life and death decision that you've made. It's just something that anyone can take or leave, and they don't really care. Because their God is me, myself, and I, therefore me, myself, and I can't make any mistakes, and whatever comes along to me, myself, and I's life, it's the most important thing in the world is that I prosper through it, and nothing else matters. And that quite literally is the way it is. And I think it's Isaiah chapter 14. If you look at the 5 I wills of the devil, that mindset is propagated, is alive in all of those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you want to even go back to the law of the Old Testament that said in the mouths of 2 or 3 witnesses, every word would be confirmed. As you start reading this portion of God's word, the first people to see the blind man made to see are his neighbors and friends. And it doesn't say how many, it just says plural. So at least 4 people knew that this man was blind and now could see. And then his parents are called, so that's another 2 people who know that he was blind and now can see. And he himself spoke up and said, I was blind, but now I see. At least 7 people, which is enough to make a case against anybody in a court of law according to Jewish law. And yet, even with their own law standing over them, people will disobey, disregard even their own rules whenever it is shown that they are not going the way that they want them to go. Me, myself, and I, whenever you subscribe to that God, overrides everything. It is a sad fact today that with even all of the proof and all of the things that are coming true with biblical prophecy, people are still choosing not to believe in God. I don't know why, but I can hazard a guess or two. Maybe it's for pride's sake. In other words, having to admit that I'm wrong. What? You mean I'm wrong? Of course people are not going to be happy about that. Or maybe it's for the power and the glory and the wealth and the reputation's sake that they will refuse God. But someday, all of those things, it's just like our money, those wee bits of paper we carry in our wallet, and the ones that keep the wheels turning and the lights going and the heat up of a Sunday morning. It's nice to have them. But it says, I promise, which is, we take that on faith that that is worth £5, £10, £20, whatever. But if there's no faith in it anymore, if people don't give you the power that you think you deserve, you're not going to get it, neither the glory, neither the reputation. Those things can disappear just like that. If you were to look at a lot of the people that whose names go into the press at the moment, many people have stood up against everything that is good and proper, and then have run a cropper of the very people they have pretended to be spokespeople for. They have been turned upon just like wolves would turn upon themselves and literally eat themselves alive. But regardless of all the other opinions in this portion of God's word, even those of the most powerful men in the country, the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees literally ran the country under Herod. The recently blind, now seeing man says, I don't know about your theology. I don't know about your opinion. I don't know who this man was that healed me, and I don't know where he is now. But one thing I know is that whereas I was blind, now I see. In other words, what's the old saying? The proof of the pudding is in the eating. The results speak for themselves. And I got to thinking about a few things that I don't know about, and the things that I do know about. And I'm going to go through them. There's maybe 8 or 9 or 10. I'm sure you'll be able to think of a few more yourselves. And if you can, they're every bit as valid. These are just the ones that I came up with as I was doing my notes. There are a lot of things I don't know in this world. There's a lot of stuff going on in this world that even the most well-educated scientists don't know. We're not interested in the secular things of the world right now, but we're interested in what the scripture says. I don't know why the Son of God would give up his life for me. I honestly don't know why, because I am a wicked sinner. Or why God the Father would let him, or would even send him. But I do know the difference that repenting of my sins and trusting in this sacrifice made in my life. I know that. I don't know how the Bible is so accurate in showing us our problems and diagnosing, I think someone once called it, the human condition, centuries, millennia even before psychiatry and psychology was a course that you could take at QUB or indeed anywhere else. I don't know. But I do know that the diagnosis is accurate and the cure is complete if we will take it. I don't know how the Bible is so accurate regarding prophecy, but I do know that they keep being fulfilled. Even the turning on of a television will show us these things happening just like the Bible said they would. I didn't know what the assurance of salvation would do for me. Heard about it, I am sure, many times. But now that I do know what the assurance of salvation does for me, it got me preaching, it got me pastoring, it got me evangelizing, and it got me bolder, and it got me wiser. And again, if the Lord will do that for me, he'll do it for you too. I didn't know about the peace of God that passeth all understanding. But you know what? Whenever I give him all my cares and worries, whenever I talked to him about all the things that bothered me, I found it. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I can see many times in this world that people literally tie themselves in knots trying to get something that God will give you if you take time in his presence. People looking for power, and they don't realize you just wait for the Lord and he will help you mount up with wings as eagles. People looking for peace to give their nerves, as they say, a bit of a rest. You don't know that just by seeking God's presence and unloading your heart's desires and worries on him will bring you the peace that passeth all understanding. I didn't know that I needed a noble purpose until I had one. And now I wouldn't know how to get up and get going without it. And everybody needs that too. We all need a purpose. And it has to be a greater purpose than just putting money in your pocket. I remember many times over the years working in Desmond's I got a promotion once. I think it was like 20 or 30% pay increase. That was from £75 a week in my pocket up to about 120 or something in my pocket. I thought I was rich until I went to put fuel in the car and nearly cried when it cost £30 to fill it. So much of my pay. And I loved the work, and I enjoyed the company of the people there and my friends outside of work. But even at that, there was always a niggling something in the back of my mind that life could be better. And I don't mean more plentiful, and I don't mean wealthier. I mean better. And until I started going round the doors and telling people about Jesus and lifting up people's names and prayers and reading and studying the Word of God so that I had the ammunition I needed to fire while I was out in the battlefront, I didn't know that I needed a noble purpose. But we do. And I am thankful that God gave whosoever will one whenever he said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Speaking of creatures, I didn't know that God would make me into a different one. All I had in my heart was I wanted to be a different one. I didn't know I wanted to be free from my sin. I wanted to be free from the conviction of sin. I wanted to be a creature that was saved. And I didn't even know what that was until the Lord saved me. And I wouldn't go back, not a chance, to the worry and the fear and the ignorance and the unknowing of the way events are unfolding, not just here and now, but in eternity. I didn't know that a walk with God could be so comforting or encouraging or empowering or would impart so much wisdom. But I do know now what it is to walk with God. And how so many things in the world that really do grab a hold of people and bend them out of shape, they don't even come anywhere near me. Because I'm walking with God and not with the world. It means so much. It's the natural state of man to walk and talk with the Lord. There's a lot in the Word of God. Just like the Lord always had the right words at the right time, and he was always in the right place at the right time too. All the prophecy, the comfort, and it's all there. It talks about the Lord being our strong and mighty tower, our high tower. The assurance of knowing that God has you in the palm of his hand, or even in 1 John chapter 5 verse 13 it says, these things have I written unto you so that you can suspect, so that you can imagine, no, so that you can know that you have eternal life and that you can believe in the name of the Son of God. The peace, the certain warnings of sin and judgment to come, and of course the for us as a person, and of course for the world as a whole, and for the accounts of all the many different types of people that were drawn into the Word of God. And we're talking about the likes of Enoch, who walked and talked with the Lord, and the Lord took him and he was not. Talk about Noah, Methuselah. You've got the good and you've got the bad. You've the Ahab and the Jezebel. You've got the man that starts as an unbeliever and ends as a believer, Nebuchadnezzar. You've got Saul and David and Solomon and Rehoboam and so on and so forth. The judges, the kings, the prophets. All of these people, all of these things are in the Word of God. And so much more. I didn't know that if I trusted him just a little, that he would show me just a little of what he was willing to do for any one of his children. I tell you what I do know. Just like the blind man, before I was saved, I was blind. I couldn't see what was going on. I was confused. I didn't know what was going on. I was helpless. For all the things that I had tried to mitigate that, to try and fix that or make the conviction less, I couldn't do it. Have you ever seen a fish, when you've lifted a fish out of the water and it flops about gasping for water, of all things, trying to get back into its natural habitat? That was me. Or flailing about like a wounded animal, wondering why I was hurting so much and causing hurt around and about me. That's what I knew. Just like, can you imagine the life of a man born blind? Always having to depend upon others, even sitting begging. Maybe knowing his way back home and his way to wherever it was, he sat and begged. Never be able to work for a living, never be able to support himself. And what that does to a person. That's what he knew. That was his life. While the other children played when he was little, kicking a ball around the street, he couldn't do that. While they spoke about the lovely toys that they had, or the colour of the sun and the flowers, it meant nothing to him. Then whenever the Lord saved my soul, when I let the Lord save my soul, just like Paul on the road to Damascus meeting Jesus, just like the blind man met Jesus, one thing I do know, once I was lost, but now I am found. And if he did it for me, a wicked sinner who used to study Satanism and witchcraft and all sorts of New Age nonsense and malarkey that was literally killing me. If he did it for Paul, who spent the entirety of his career up until that fateful journey on the road to Damascus, healing Christians and casting them into jail, many of whom were thrown to the lions and the bears and hacked apart by swords for hire. Stole their land, stole their houses, committed them to the synagogue and to the church. If he did it for Paul, he'll do it for you. All that it takes is for repentance from sin and dead works and a trust in Christ as your Savior. That's all that it takes. That's your eternity sorted out. For right now, all that it takes for you to do is to do what God asks you to do. That's it. It's not rocket science. He doesn't give you a list as long as your arm and say, it's not like, did anyone ever see Mission Impossible? Do you remember the old Mission Impossible? There'd be a wee tape recorder given. And they'd do this huge information dump, names, places, your mission. And it says, what did it say? This tape will self-destruct in 10 seconds. And then you'd see the smoke starting to come out of it. And he had to remember all of his mission details. God doesn't ask us to do this. He has it all down in his word. In this country, we can, I am sure, in our homes, we can lay hands on at least 2 different Bibles that belong to ourselves personally. There are many that can't do that. I want for you to know this morning, and I hope I haven't labored the point too much, that this thing that God has for us, this salvation, this walk with Him, it's powerful. It is powerful. It's the only thing that was able to change my life. And it's the only thing that was able to lift me from the broad road that leads to destruction and set me on the straight and narrow road that leads to life. It is life-changing and eternity-changing. It's also providential because it came from God. There was no thing, no one thing in this world that eased my conscience or took away the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Only God. Only God supplies. But how many counterfeits are there? Always beware the counterfeits. And lastly, not only is it powerful and not only is it providential, it's personal. It's one thing, not that we all know, although the knowledge is there. It's personal. It's for me and it's for you, singular. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save each soul in the world. He didn't come to save the world, but each and every soul in the world. And He has done His bit. He has, goodness, providentially, divinely prepared and preserved this word that we sit with on our knees, that we claim as the word of God, that we, I hope, read a bit and study a bit and commit a bit to our memories. This is His. And He has this. This isn't for everybody else in Bethel or everybody else in Derry. This is my Bible. This is the one with my notes on it. This is the one with my underlinings on it. And this is mine because Jesus saved me. He came to take away the sin of the world and He has paid the debt. And it's almost like He has these gifts for us. But if we don't turn up and accept the gift, we don't get it. And it's not with an empty hand that we receive this gift, like little children the world over know how to accept gifts. They just stick out their empty hands and receive it. It's with a repentant heart, a heart that has turned away from its sin and its dead works and turned to Jesus, because it's only then that the Holy Spirit can take up residence within. It's personal. And the things that God tells to me almost certainly are different to what He's been saying to you this morning. I hope one of them was get up out of bed and get your glad rags on and get out to church. How many people heard that same call and never answered? It's personal. It's up to you, your walk with the Lord. It's not a group deal. If Monica and I get saved, it doesn't mean everybody else in my boy road's going to get saved. It means that Monica and I get saved. And yes, maybe we'll go around and we'll give a good example of what it's like to live as a saved soul so that other people see and make that decision for themselves. To understand that the Lord gave His life on the cross for each and every one of us. And it is up to each and every soul to come to the conclusion, just like this man did here when he said, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see, that they can say, one thing I know, that whereas I was lost, now I am saved. And then they'll be able to look back and say, that's amazing. I didn't know that. But now that I do, it makes such a difference in my life. Amen. stopping there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. We have a spot for a song. If any of the ladies, if either of the ladies, I think the men all chose, but if either of the ladies have a hymn that they'd like for us to close on, Ling, we're very welcome to entertain your hymn suggestion for our closing hymn. Number two it is, this blessed old book. Mrs. Bradfield, are you okay to play?
Oh, sorry. I was thinking one. Yeah,
let's stand as we sing, and then we'll remain standing for a wee word of prayer, and we'll dismiss the meeting. Thank you, Mrs. B.
It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a song where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, it reminds me I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many and believers are true, but one thing I find to be true, if you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
Amen. Thank you again for your good time and attention. God bless you. I pray you have a good Lord's Day. Doors will be open again about 6:45. Hope to see at least some of you there anyway. Amen. Well, would you dismiss the meeting for us, please?
Father, thank you for the sermon today, Lord, and use it many in our lives, Lord, and both in our lives and also to the years of those here, for CD or for the internet ministry as well, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your love and that you sent Jesus in the cross to for us. And so, Lord, we always remember this, Lord, and always praise that great and holy name. And Lord, to seek thy face all the time that we're on the earth, Lord, and to praise that great and holy name. Lord, prove us as we depart to our home to safety, deliver us and keep us, Lord, and to join mercies, Lord. And bear for all those people that are going to churches that pity Christ crucified, and Lord, in the full counsel of the Holy Lord. Bless them all, Lord, and save souls mightily for this world, Lord. And stop the coronavirus from killing people, Lord. And Lord, make a wake up call to many people, Lord, that they need Jesus in their lives, and repent of their sins and turn to Jesus and to God and to thyself, Lord, for their sins, Lord. The pastor helps us to provide for us to give us, Lord, and thank you for everything you've provided for us. For Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, folks, we're dismissed. God bless you, each and every one.